The government is leaving no stone unturned, looking for contract savings. Congress is upping the pressure for agencies to change what they pay for contractors' salaries. A new bill caps it at $400,000. Here to talk about that bill is Trey Hodgkins, Senior Vice President for Procurement Policy at Techamera. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom and Amy. How are you all?
All right. So let's get to this bill now. That this is the Senate version of the authorization bill for DOD, capping contractor salaries at $400,000. Is this going to save the government any money?
Well, not according to the Congressional Budget Office. This is not a new idea. This first began in 1997 when Congress created this. It's a statutory formula with an incremental increase over each year to accommodate the discrepancies that are found between compensation packages in the private sector and in the public sector. When they first put this in place, they recognized that that discrepancy or those inequities were causing a problem recruiting top talent to work for the government on their programs and projects. And when DOD sent over proposals this year to try and adjust this formula, in both the House and the Senate bill, there are provisions that tweak the program, but CBO scored both of them and said that there would be no savings. It's a color of money issue, but there's no real savings to the Treasury.
So how was it modified, and what are the contractors thinking about it now?
Well, the contractors are concerned, again, because of the ability to attract and retain the top talent to work on government programs. And when you have a commercial company or a commercial unit in a company, frequently the compensation packages can be far more rewarding on that side. The changes that were made, they have modified who it applies to from the top five executives to the Senate version calls for all executives in the company, essentially meaning those managing a profit and loss unit. And the House version calls for applying it to everyone in the company. So the scope of application is modified, but the formula was not changed originally in the House or the Senate bills. Senator Boxer is the one who introduced a provision that would cap it at $400,000. And, you know, it's an arbitrary number. It's a static cap, and it means that as the private sector identifies, for example, people with significant skills for cybersecurity, and companies want to bring those people over to work on government programs, this begins to restore and perhaps exacerbate the pay inequities and compensation packages for the people with those kinds of skill sets.
Well, how does this work in practice? If, say, someone is making whatever it is they want to be reimbursed for, say $400,000, which is the president's salary, I think is the number they picked. Does that mean that if I'm bidding a contract, I'm a contractor, and that person is part of that contract, I bill the government $400,000, but isn't that prorated on the time that that person spends on that contract? Because a person could spend time on five contracts so that they would only be given contract, would only get $50,000 out of it.
That's correct, Tom. It's
or $80,000, rather.
Yeah, it's an allowable cost on the contracts. And so it's not capping the salary package the individual might make at a company. It's capping the amount that the government allows to be attributed to contracts. And as you note, you know, these are executives, so they're going to be managing potentially dozens of different contracts in a company. And that allowable cost is spread out over all of those programs and contracts.
So that means for the company, then, there's a shortfall between what they're paying people and what they're getting reimbursed for. But in the grand scheme of things, given the small role that a given executive has on a given contract, it probably won't cost the companies that much either.
Well, it could cost them if the expectation is the person's salary package would remain in what it is today. Let's say the company chooses not to reduce the amount from the current statutory value, which is about a little less than $700,000, down to the $400,000, the company essentially has to eat that $300,000. And if you put that across all the executives, it could potentially mean a significant amount of money that would come out of their cash flow. So for a company, it could be a significant change. For the government, though, there's no savings to the taxpayer because the money, again, it's a color of money issue, and the money moves around and is used elsewhere. It's not an actual dollar savings to the Treasury.
We're talking to Trey Hodgkins. He's a senior vice president for procurement policy at Tech America. It sounds like what you're saying is, depending on who you're listening to, you're going to get different estimates for whether there is money saved and how much.
That's true. I mean, certainly you can calculate an amount, but again, because of the color of money issue, the actual dollars in the Treasury doesn't reappear there. It just goes to another activity. The estimates have been out there, but again, CBO scored it to show both in the House and the Senate that modifying this program in these ways does not generate any savings.
Now, how does this work in a practical sense, I wonder? Suppose I'm a contractor and I'm in cybersecurity and my executive is making $900,000 and I can only charge $400,000 for him. If I've got, say, 20 or some large number of contracts, how does the government know the aggregate that that single person is being reimbursed for across all those contracts? They could be in 10 different agencies.
That's true. Because of the multiple systems that the government requires, when you get into the elaborate accounting systems, cost accounting systems that the government requires, it tracks all those things. And of course, there are several agencies in the federal government that come in and audit those programs and systems in the company, so they can see where the dollars are attributed and where it's been allocated, and how the company did allocate it. You noted it might be spread across, but if an executive spends 50% of their time on one contract and the other 50% of their time on 10 other contracts, then the company would be allocating it, appropriately.
So there's no way a company could really try to, well, that would impute a dishonesty on their part. So I'm not saying companies would want to do that or encouraged to do that, but it's probably not all that possible anyhow.
No, it's not possible to hide the money or to disguise where it's been allocated or incorrectly allocated. Because, again, it's occurring inside of the context of these cost accounting systems. These companies have to create at the government's request. The government approved that the process is functioning properly inside the company, and they do audits on a periodic basis of those systems to make sure that all of the dollars are appropriately attributed and accounted for when those companies are doing contracts with the federal government.
So what are you looking for now? What is your next step over the coming weeks?
Well, the expectation is that the Congress is certainly making a big push to finish the defense authorization bill this week. I will probably find out later today whether or not they had any success with their discussions and their final conference negotiations. And the hope is they'll vote on something on Friday, so certainly by then we'll know the outcome. Tech America's position has been throughout this discussion that what we need to reserve is a statutorily based formula with an incremental increase so that we can continue to address the inequities that exist between the public sector and public sector programs and the commercial side. And because the underlying basis for this, the reason for this in the first place was to attract and retain highly skilled people to work on the government side. And that reason, that need is not going away. And so we need to try and make sure we can preserve some means of offsetting that. And our goal would be to have a statutory formula with an incremental increase. And then, perhaps if we want to revisit the factors in the formula, a lot has changed since 97 when this was created, and that's fair game.